Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody. Happy Wednesday, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Greider. I'm the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight's topic, the end times timeline from the rapture to the revelation in light of recent developments in AI. Many people have been asking me to explain to them the end times timeline recently. The events that occur from the pre-tribulation rapture of the church all the way up to the second coming. And so I thought that tonight would be a good time to go over it, especially when you factor in how the current AI revolution seems to be speeding everything up. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we are once again taking a deep dive into our King James Bibles to walk the steps from the rapture to the revelation, making stops along the way at all the checkpoints on the end times timeline. Christian, we're not simply watching these events unfolding. We are living in the time in which they unfold. Is anything more exciting than that? On this episode of Rightly Dividing, as we wait for the Lord, as the church age comes to a close, we open up the Scripture of Truth for a refresher. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here who are listening live, and for all those that will listen in the archives. And we just ask you to meet with us, God, and Lord, just give us a special blessing from your word tonight, and we're so glad. And Lord, we're at the end of the church age. We are living in the time period in which these amazing things are coming to pass that have been in your book for thousands of years, and we're in awe, Father God, of how you work it all out. So open our eyes and ears to the truth of your word tonight, Lord, and meet with us and lead us and guide us into all truth. And we ask it, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Glad that you're here tonight. Had some technical difficulties getting the program started, and I apologize for that, but we are up and running, praise the Lord, and we are broadcasting live across America and around the world, and I'm so excited. We have an amazing praise report. Trisha, she told me that Beckham Levi Blackburn has come into the world. And for many, many months, it's got to be at least 6 or 7 months that we've been praying for Elena Blackburn to give birth and to let it go smoothly and easily. And we ask the Lord to guide every single step of the process for little baby Beckham. And he came into the world today, and we just praise the Lord for that. And so yesterday there were 10 women on our list. Now there are 9 women on our expecting list. And we're going to continue to pray for them during our prayer time today. But I just wanted to start out congratulating Trisha and Levi and Elena and just everybody in their family. What a blessing it is to welcome little baby Beckham into this world. And God is good. God is very good to us. He heard all these prayers, and he answered these prayers. Baby Beckham was born weighing 5 pounds, 7 ounces, and we just welcome him into the world. If you're just tuning in, tonight we're talking about the end times timeline. A lot of people have questions about it, and we're going to look at all those different things that the End Times Timeline covers, and I hope it will be a blessing to you. Very glad that you're here tonight. I'm glad to be here tonight.
It is finished, it is finished, Tetelestai. The beauty of the double meaning phrase. He ceased from his labor, and so have I, now resting only in his grace. It is finished, it is finished, Tetelestai. The Son of Man succeeding where I failed. The wrath of God now satisfied in Jesus, my Emmanuel. It is death, he's alive. It is finished, Tetelestai. My hope found in the Savior's words alone. He willingly laid down his life, and gloriously he rolled away the stone. It is finished, it is finished, Tetelestai. No longer need I labor for his love, for Christ fulfilling the law of God was deemed by God to be enough. It is done, he's alive.
Sinking sand.
Amen, Lord, we cry out to you.
To everyone who's lost someone they love, long before it was their time, you feel like the days you had were not enough when you said goodbye. And to all of the people with burdens and pains, keeping you back from your life, you believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. And there is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. And there is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry. Cry out to Jesus. For the myriads that struggling just to hang on, they've lost all of their faith and love, and they've done all they can to make it right again. Still it's not enough. Addictions and chains, you try to give up, but you come back again. Just remember that you're not alone in your shame and your suffering. There is hope for the helpless, yes, for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness. Tears from her eyes, and for the children around the world without a home, say a prayer tonight. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He'll meet you.
The Bible says, starting in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Strife. when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It is safely moored, 'twill the storm withstand, for 'tis well secured by the Savior's hand. And the cables passed from his heart to mine can defy the blast through strength divine. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. When our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore with the storms all past forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep.
Amen.
In the Savior's love.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We come before you, Lord. I love our Bible study time. I love our Bible prayer time. And Lord, tonight we pray for lost souls. Regina Danner, she says, please pray for Kelly, Chris, Cisco, Richard, Wayne, John, Sandra, Tamara, Hazel, and Jimmy. Carol from Georgia would like to see her sister, cousins, and Aunt Joey get saved. The Breida family. Stacy Bunton is praying for her husband's salvation. Rachel Adams is praying for Kim and Jesse, Angelina, Carrie, Mike, Alyssa, and Stan. Ashley, for salvation and to overcome addiction. Mark would like prayers for salvation for his sons, Michael, Matthew, Mason, and daughter Michaela. Mitch is praying for his daughters, Rachel and Hannah, and their husbands. Our mailman friend, Joey. He had knee surgery. He's recovering, and we're praying for him to get saved. Regina is praying for Kelly, Chris, and Cisco. People who need a healing. Annetta had a stroke last year, and she's praying to be able to have feeling and movement on her left side. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease. Rob Beatty, he's been having some problems lately with cramping and things of that nature as he battles stage 4 colon cancer. Please continue to pray for Rob Beatty. Clayton Perry is going through the side effects of chemotherapy. Aaron Riddle's sister Tracy has metastatic breast cancer. Shira Shine, she sees the doctor in 7 days. That's when she will find out the prognosis. Please continue to pray for a complete healing for Shira as she is not out of the woods quite yet. Also, prayers for her children, Nicole, Sherry, and Scott. And she says thank you very much. Also, her pastor, Pete Dallas, has been battling cancer for 5 years, and we're praying for him. Jill Puckett needs prayer. She's losing her vision. Rebecca Lynn is praying for her friend Joel Smith to get saved. Patricia Alliston is praying for her husband, Ron, who is cancer. Sharon Hansen, she needs prayer for healing, and she has periods of confusion. Gary wants prayer for his friend, Carrick, from Pennsylvania, diagnosed with MS. Dina Kruger. Please continue to pray for Katrina, who had brain surgery, as well as Dina's son, Jordan, for salvation, and her mom, Marcy, who's undergoing radiation for colon cancer. Cindy Kettlecamp says that our prayers for her daughter, Brooke, have resulted in a much improved condition. She is on the autism spectrum. So please continue to pray for Brooke Kettlecamp. My friend Krista, been friends with her for a number of years. She is battling a tumor on her chest that has wrapped around five of her ribs. Dan Kane, please pray for my wife Roxy with MS and my son Jonathan. Sharon DeGanius, she is still healing. She's going to be moved to a rehab facility. And she is grateful that we are continuing to pray for her. Annette says, please pray for my left knee with a torn meniscus. Bobby Mathias would like prayer for his mom. She's 83 and has various health issues. Kelly Hollowell, I reached out to her. I don't think I have an update quite yet on her condition. She fractured her arm, and she shattered her arm, and it's been really, really rough. It's been rough. She had 12 pins. She had surgery that lasted for hours and hours. Please remember Kelly Hollowell in your prayers. Chuck, who needs to go on dialysis. Marianne Ellie, please pray for my kids, John and Marie and Christine, to get saved, and my grandkids, Sophia, Jacob, David, and Katrina. Carol from Georgia, asking prayer for Uncle Marion with terminal cancer and Aunt Jo, who is over 100 years old, as well as unsaved cousins in New Mexico. Carolyn Marks has a painful lump, and she wants us to pray about that. Rhiannon says they took Lester off of life support on May 23rd, but he is breathing on his own. And unfortunately, there is no brain activity. And she says, from what I understand, they are keeping him comfortable until he stops breathing and passes away. So please pray for Lester. Ralph and Tracy Wallace, please pray for my son-in-law, Ethan, my daughter, Shanna, and my grandson, Caden. Also salvation for Ethan and Shanna to come back to the Lord. Harmon's son, Michael, is battling colon cancer. Daniel Below needs healing for a damaged vocal cord. Pastor Johnry in the Philippines. Urgent prayer request for our neighbor named Ivan. He is 13 years old. And the doctor says he only has days to live. And please pray for him. And I'm not sure if he is saved or not. But Pastor Johnry is asking prayer for Ivan, who is 13 and battling leukemia. Beth Peck, please continue to pray for my husband David for salvation, as well as my children Heather and Damien and my in-laws who are Catholic. I am also experiencing some health issues, and I'm putting it in the Lord's hands. Also, my friend's daughter Jordan is having health issues. Ricky Gouda from the Netherlands says, please pray for me, especially for being alone and having bad eyesight, and please pray for my daughter Nortja and my son Martin and brother Paul. They are all born again, and they all have unspoken prayer issues. Trisha Givens, we gave this update at the start of the program. Baby Beckham came into the world today, and we rejoice. That is absolutely a praise report, and we rejoice with Trisha and the entire family. Baby Beckham does have a cleft palate and something called Pierre Robin syndrome. Trisha says my son Samuel had it. It means that the lower jaw and tongue are very small compared to what they should be. It creates problems with feeding and breathing because the tongue falls back and covers the windpipe. But the good news, Baby Beckham is in a really good hospital, and they are on top of the situation. So we rejoice that Baby Beckham has come into the world. What a great thing that that is. And we are going to continue to keep Beckham on the prayer list for 100% of these issues that I just mentioned. And as Tricia said, he's in a very good hospital. He's receiving excellent care. And this is why we put Elena on the prayer list many, many months ago. And since then, 9 other women have been placed on the prayer list. And what a powerful thing it is that we can all come together as a church family and lift these things up before the Lord. Ladies who are pregnant at the top of the list, now that baby Beckham has arrived, Kelsey Emerson, Aaron Riddle, Gary Tatterson's daughter, Kayla, Linda and Joe LaPiana's son and daughter-in-law, April's niece, Shelby, Terry Bryant's daughter, Jillian, Heather's daughter, Shira Shine's daughter-in-law, and Cindy and Steve Britt says, please add our granddaughter to the pregnant mom list. So we have one baby that has come into the world, and we praise the Lord for that, and 9 more ladies to pray for, but because Kayla's having twins, it's 10 more babies. Mark Saxa, please pray for my son Joseph to return to the Lord. Aunt Nancy would like us to pray for Brandon and Michelle to get saved. Leslie, she's asking for prayer that the Lord will order and reorder an urgent financial situation. Palmetto State Guy is thankful that we're praying for his mom, Eunice, and his father, Paul. Joni would like to see Ashley, Clint, Ember, Knox, Lucas, Brian, Mary, and Dee get saved. Please pray for my son, Calvin. The Lord knows the need. Jill Hall, please pray for Carly to get saved. She's getting off drugs. She's a mother of 3 boys. And Jill says, I gave her a Bible, told her to begin reading, and that Jesus loves her. Amen. Jeanette says, I still need a weekend caregiver. Cindy Kettlecamp, please continue to pray for my son, Josh. And Cindy, if you're listening, could you give me an update on his job situation? I think it probably has resolved itself by now. Heather, she's recently relapsed and smoking marijuana. Please put me on the prayer list. Amen. You're on the list. Brenda, please pray for my husband, Mike, who is an alcoholic. And he's saved, but now he needs to get sober. Unspoken prayer requests. The LaPiana family, Jeanette, Marie C., Adrian P. Breda, Chris Hart, Kate, John Bayor, Haley and Dan, Dr. Shirley, Jericho, Henry Biggs, Debbie has an unspoken for herself, her kids, and her grandkids. Dana Bragdon, I have an unspoken. Lori has an unspoken. And Rachel Adams has an unspoken prayer request. All right, let's go to the chat room. And, ooh, we have a lot in the chat room tonight. Berta Crabb. We found out today that I have cataracts in both eyes and we do not have health insurance. The Lord will make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. We're going to pray for Berta and her cataracts. Charlton says, praise report. I just spoke to an 18-year-old young man with maturity that is not common. He loves the Lord and really appreciated the NTEB track so he can check it out. I pray the Lord will guide him as he navigates early adulthood. Amen. Jeanette says, please pray for my caregivers. They are both sick. Still needing a weekend caregiver. Amanda, she says, Mike and I are checking in safe. We can be taken off the prayer request. Praise the Lord. Amen. Have a lot of prayer requests. Praise reports tonight. Regina Danner says, please pray for safe travels for granddaughter Kelly driving a U-Haul from New York City to Wisconsin to her next college. Angel, praise report, getting over my weeks of bronchitis. feeling better for the first time. Amen. And I rejoice with you, Angel, having had bronchitis for the last, 16 weeks. And I'm feeling better as well. So we're very glad that it's getting out of your system. Also, Angel has a big praise report. Her mom gets saved back in March. She gets put into the hospice because she had blood clots from getting the COVID vaccine. And now she's out of the hospice and she took 15 steps today after having a severe stroke. What an amazing praise report that is. Amen. Jeanette says, praise report, my mom found her wedding ring that fell off her finger. She had lost so much weight that it became loose. That's an answer to prayer. Amen. Lola, still praying for my son William and his wife Lindsay to get saved. Mike Hensel, he's having knee surgery tomorrow at 7:30. He's checking in at 5:15 a.m. Please remember Brother Mike Hensel tomorrow. He's having plates and screws removed in preparation of knee replacement surgery. Jeanette says, update on Sharon Deganius. She has moved to the rehab facility and dealing with a lot of pain. Kyle Gorzel. All right. Little baby Titus was taken to the hospital today because the pediatrician noticed that Titus's head was growing faster than normal. Had us go to the hospital this morning to take an ultrasound of his head, making sure that everything is okay. So please pray for baby Titus as well as for baby Beckham. Trisha says, please pray for Samuel, who left today and will be traveling the next 2 days as he moves to Arizona to attend school. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father God, for all these prayers and praises. Lord, we watch you work and move amongst us in our midst on a daily basis. And we're just so glad to see you answering our prayers. We're just so glad to hear these praise reports. And Lord, there's many people that are still sick and they're still hurting. And they need to have a touch from you. People battling cancer and blood clots and strokes and heart attacks and multiple sclerosis and colon cancer and all these different things. We pray for Mike Hensel, who's having surgery tomorrow. We pray for Gail Comfort, who's having surgery, hip replacement surgery on June 13th. We pray for my friend Ethan, who's having hip replacement surgery in June. We pray for Trisha and her ongoing therapies that she's getting from her doctor as she decides the next step forward. And Lord, for all of these prayers, Lord, we ask you to work and move and just do what you do, Father God. We want to keep our prayers simple. And Father God, we just throw ourselves at your feet and we ask you to wash us clean of anything that would separate us from you. And Lord, hear these prayers and answer our prayers. And we commit all of these things to you, Father God, and this time and this Bible study, as we always do, in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Philippians chapter 4, it says this, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't lose sleep about anything. That's what it is. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, isn't that what this world wants? Isn't that what this world talks about? Peace and safety, safety and peace, peace and safety. Paul says, if you want God's peace, Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jersey Girl is asking, did NTEB get kicked off of Facebook? No, but we are taking a Facebook break. I've gotten so many suspensions and so many deletions. I lost control of just about every single group that I ever started. We have been peppered with community standard violations. That's on Facebook. So we're taking a break from Facebook. We're taking a break from YouTube because one of the podcasts that we did a couple of weeks ago, that violated their standards because we talked about the vaccine, and they suspended me for the next 14 days. So we're just taking a little bit of a social media hiatus, and we're going to let all these suspensions just kind of simmer down and cool down, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks. You don't have to worry about that. But look, when you stand for the truth, you're going to get suspended. You're going to get violated. It took me 10 years to get our Facebook page. Mike Hensel says, is that including your personal Facebook? Nope, but we are taking a Facebook hiatus. Just getting out of the social media world for a week or two and just taking a little bit of a break. You remember last year, and I really don't want to waste too much time with this Bible study talking about social media, but suffice to say, if you remember last year when they unpublished our Facebook page with almost 250,000 followers, and one day it was just gone. And Jersey Girl says that it's easier to share than the website. Actually, it's not. There is a share button on the top of every single article that we do. And when you go to nowtheendbegins.com, all you have to do is at the top of every article are very powerful share buttons. You can share any article that we do with one click. Phyllis T. says, daughter is healing from ankle surgery last week. Please pray for a complete healing. So that's the update on social media. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, but you're not going to see any new YouTube videos or anything like that because we got a strike, and there's nothing that we can do about that. But we'll be back. Anyway, two things that I want to talk about. An article that we did yesterday about the free Bible program. And we talked about a homeless man by the name of Dallas. And I've gotten so much great feedback from this article about Dallas, who was brought to a homeless shelter. And what did he say? He said this. Kim Harden wrote to me and she said, I was so blessed to be there when they brought Dallas into the Victory Life Ministry home last week. He shared that he had been roaming the streets of Las Vegas for the last 3 years, lost and alone, not sure of where he would lay his head or even where his next meal would come from. After intake, the assistant home director, Greg Hill, allowed Dallas to shower and have a good meal. Next, Greg presented Dallas with one of your Bibles. You know what Dallas said? He said that he had lost two previous Bibles because he had been homeless. And when he got this Bible at the Victory Life Ministry Center, he turned to Kim and he said, "Look at this Bible. This is my Bible. I won't let it out of my sight. I get to keep it." And I just wanted you guys to see the face of somebody who personally received a free Bible through the Free Bible Program, and what an amazing impact that that is having on his life. So please continue to pray for the Free Bible Program and the Bibles Behind Bars program. And if the Lord has prospered you, please pray about donating to the Free Bible Program. It's expensive, and we have just passed 125,000 Bibles that we've handed out. You can donate by going to BiblesBehindBars.com. You can go to NowTheEndBegins.com, and somebody is going to post the links in the chat room for how you can donate to our Free Bible Program. And we are working on some exciting things. We are working on getting our own Bible warehouse, and it's just all so very exciting. So please continue to pray for the Free Bible Program, and please continue to, if the Lord has prospered you, please donate to the Free Bible Program. And that's the only way that we are able to do these things. And we're very glad for all the amazing support that we get. All right, let's get into our Bible study tonight. Turn to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13 in your King James Bibles. You know what? It is almost the top of the hour. Let me play the song that we play when we have a break, and because I don't want to have to stop what we're doing in 5 minutes. Let me play this song, and then we will get right into our Bible study tonight. God has been so very good to us. He's been answering so many prayers. We have so many praise reports. People are getting healed. People are getting saved. People are being born into this world. And I just want to take a moment and reflect on God's goodness toward all of us.
I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say God's been good in my life.
Amen, Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt. As His grace rolled down upon me, undeserved. For God's been good in my life. feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way that I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel so blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, welcome back for the start of hour two of tonight's Bible study. If you were listening in the first hour, we were having just a good time in the Lord with our prayer list and our praise reports, and it's just a cause for celebration around here when God answers prayer in such a mighty way. And we're so glad and so grateful for that. Tonight's Bible study, open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter 13. A number of people have come to me recently asking about the end times timeline. And there's a lot of moving parts on the end times timeline. So I thought, since there seems to be some current renewed interest in the timeline, that's a topic that we have covered fairly extensively. But look, I've been reading the end times timeline for 32 years, and I see new stuff all the time. So you can never review the Bible too often. So Revelation chapter 13, Revelation chapter 13. Let's start reading in verse 11, and we're going to go all the way down to verse 18. Revelation 13, 11 to 18. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, Daniel chapter 3, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So Let me start with an article that I just published about 2 hours ago. I was doing a lot of things today and a lot of errands and a lot of running around, and I went into my local Circle K gas station convenience store. And it's a rather nice convenience store. It's kind of classy, and it has a lot of good items, and it's neat and it's clean. It's not your typical gas station convenience store. And I went into Circle K, and I wanted to get a couple of bottles of cold water and a pack of Altoids. I like peppermint. And I walked up to the front counter. And what did I see at the front counter? It's something called the No-Scan Smart Checkout. And how does this work? All you have to do is put whatever item that you have on this thing. It's called the Smart Checkout. And if you're not in the chat room, just go to nowtheendbegins.com. It's the second story from the top. And I put my items onto the Smart Checkout thing. And in under 5 seconds, with no visible moving parts, my entire order had been rung up, and there was a machine on the side which said, please insert your chip card now. And I'll be honest with you, a little bit of a cold chill went down my spine as I purchased my items from the Smart Checkout facility at my Circle K convenience store. And it is absolutely dystopian. It is absolutely Orwellian. And it is absolutely biblical what is going on. So where are we on the end times timeline? We are so very, very close to the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And we are watching Bible prophecy in the book of Revelation that has been there. Now, Carrie says, run from the Smart Checkout. Well, let me tell you something. You're not going to be able to run for much longer because there's no getting away from it. And this is what we were talking about last Friday on the podcast, or was it Monday? I don't remember. But on one of these things, I talked about, if I was paralyzed, would I take Elon Musk's brain chip? And that caused a lot of controversy with people on either side of that issue. But the point that I was trying to make is a point that I'm repeating now. You cannot run from this. There is no place to run to. Everybody has a microchip credit card or a microchip debit card. Everybody. They don't make debit cards that aren't microchipped anymore. They don't make them. And what I saw today at the Circle K store, that within 6 to 18 months, if the Lord tarries, is going to be everywhere. So you can't run away from it. It is not possible. So what are we supposed to do in the meantime? We're supposed to use discernment. And most of all, we are supposed to read and believe our King James Bible. Because if you read and believe your King James Bible, you're not going to get fooled by this stuff. But it is so important. It is so important to understand what your Bible says, because as we wait for the Lord to come and get us, we have to live in the mark of the beast system. You cannot get away from it. So what I am telling you, what I am urging everyone to do, is to make peace with the fact that Carrie says, join an Amish community. No, that doesn't get you away from the Mark of the Beast system, because the Amish live in the same town with everybody else. And they may not have electricity in their house, but they have to have electricity in their businesses. They have to have electricity in the stores where they sell their food products. There is no way to get away from it. I promise you, you cannot get away from it. But what you can do is you can understand the times that you're living in. And you can use discernment. You know what the internet is? The internet is the Mark of the Beast system. Now, the internet was made available to the public on April 30th of 1993. That was 30 years ago that the internet was made public. How does the entire world run now in 2023? The entire world runs on the internet. And not only that, now we have artificial intelligence. Now we have artificial intelligence that is about to vastly accelerate the end times timeline. So I think it's really important that we understand where we are on the end times timeline. We are in the Mark of the Beast system right now. I want you to think about that. And I'll say that again, because that's a really important thing to say. Today is May 31st of 2023, and I am officially declaring that we are in the Mark of the Beast system right here and right now. There's no way that you can get away from it. There's no place to go that is not controlled in some way by the internet. So let's take a look at the end times timeline. Amanda says that we're living in the time of the beginning of sorrows, and she's exactly right. I did an article a couple of years ago, and I took some heat for it, and I don't mind taking the heat. But I did an article a couple of years ago saying that based on everything that I was looking at, that we were living in the beginning of sorrows from Matthew chapter 24. Now, I published that article on May 18th of 2020, 4 days after the lockdowns started. I published this article 4 days after the lockdown started, and here we are, it's almost 3.5 years ago, and that article has aged very, very well. Are we in the beginning of sorrows? Yes, we absolutely are. There is no question about it. No question about it of any kind. Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, I want to talk to you tonight, tonight's Bible study. I want you to consider some things as we watch the dispensation of the church age coming to a close. Now, I don't know when the church age will officially be over, but I know how it's going to come to an end. The dispensation that we call the church age will formally end with an event called the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And when that happens, it will usher in the most chaotic time that will ever be known in all of human history, the time of Jacob's trouble. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52. Paul says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, the early church in the book of Acts, they didn't know about a pre-tribulation rapture because they weren't looking for heaven. They were waiting for a kingdom to come to them. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 1. The early church was not waiting for the rapture. How do I know that? Listen to what they say in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power." Back in the book of Acts, what were they looking for? They were waiting for the kingdom to come. Jesus taught them to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." That's a Jewish prayer. "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" That's what they're looking for. That's what they're waiting for. They're not waiting for the rapture. Now, the dispensation of those early Jewish believers was called the Kingdom Age, and it included both the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is summed up as the Jews in an eternal Israel with their Messiah King ruling over them. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 4 says this, "But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked." That's the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Originally, both those kingdoms were offered to the Jews, but when they rejected the preaching of the Holy Ghost through Stephen, God split the kingdoms. Turn to Matthew 21. God split the kingdoms, and he gave the kingdom of heaven to the Jews and the kingdom of God to what would become the New Testament church. And Jesus prophesies about this split in Matthew chapter 21. Look down in verse, let's see, Matthew 21. And look down in verse, where is that verse? Hold on, I know it's Matthew 21 somewhere. Matthew 21, 43. Actually, Matthew 21, 42 and 43. "Jesus saith unto them, Did ye never read in the scriptures, The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, The kingdom of God shall be taken from you, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." So, the early Jewish church was not looking for the rapture. They were waiting for the kingdom to come to them. Then they lost the kingdom of God. Those two kingdoms were split. And then in Acts chapter 8, you have the Ethiopian eunuch who is the first Gentile who gets saved. So, I want to review, I want to take just a couple of minutes tonight, and I want to review the end times timeline. Now, the first thing that's going to happen on the end times timeline, turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. The first thing that has to happen is already happening. Let's read Matthew 24, verses 3 through 8. Matthew 24, verses 3 through 8. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows." Now, we are in that time period right now. Turn to Daniel chapter 12. Turn to Daniel chapter 12. And this is another one of the signs of the time period that we are living in. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." Now, one of the signs that you are living in the end times: many people shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. The beginning of sorrows. If you remember back in the book of Genesis, where God said that the entire world is of one speech and of one mind and of one language, and nothing that they set their mind to do, nothing is outside of their ability. And they began to build a tower that through this tower, we call it the Tower of Babel, that they were going to get to heaven without God. And what is now, obviously, it is impossible to build a tower or even a skyscraper that's going to get you to heaven. But what is God showing us in the type of the Tower of Babel? He is showing us that there is going to come a period in the end of time where knowledge shall be increased, and people are going to run to and fro at an alarming rate. So you have the Industrial Revolution, you have the invention of the cotton gin, you have the invention of the internal combustion engine, you have the invention of the telephone, and from there we get jet airplanes, we get rockets to the moon, we get personal computers, mobile devices, and all those different things. So in Daniel 12:4, Daniel is told to shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. That's not just traveling by boat and car and train and plane and rocket ship. That is traveling. That is traveling through the power of the internet. Back in the book of Genesis, you have the Tower of Babel. In 2023, you have towers, Wi-Fi towers. Outside of my condo, there are two massive Wi-Fi towers. And those towers are in every town, every city, every state in America, and in just about every single country on the face of the earth. And for the places where they don't have the Wi-Fi towers, they are beaming down the internet through satellites. This is where we are. Daniel 12:4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now turn to Revelation 4. Revelation 4. Let's talk about this timeline. And I'm not going to take a break at the bottom of the hour. I just want to cover this timeline in one bite. I don't want to break it up. Revelation 4:1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Now, John, for the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, he is shown things about the church. And he is given a message to seven churches. The apostle Paul wrote to seven churches. And here in Revelation 1, 2, and 3, John is told in verse 19 of Revelation 1. Revelation 1:19. Jesus says to John, write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So what is the first thing that John writes about? He writes about the church. And all of Revelation 2 and all of Revelation 3 have to do with the churches. It has to do with the church age. And then look at Revelation 4:1. After this, I looked. After what? After two solid chapters of church, 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 church. Revelation 4:1. After this, I looked. After what? After the church age. And behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Keep your finger in Revelation 4. Keep your finger in Revelation 4 and go to Song of Solomon chapter 2. Song of Solomon chapter 2. Look at verses 7-10. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, 7-10. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. John says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Same thing. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. Keep your finger in Revelation 4 and go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And look down at the bottom. 1 Corinthians 15. 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. One more time. After this I looked. After what? After two chapters of the church. After this I looked. John's told, write the things which were, which are, and will be. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So, the first thing that has to happen is the start of the beginning of sorrows. That has already begun. The second thing that has to happen on the end times timeline is the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. The third thing that has to take place is the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let's take a look starting in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of Christ, the rapture of the church, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The first thing that has to happen is the beginning of sorrows, then the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, then the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. Look down in verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So when the rapture happens and the church is removed off the face of the earth, that is going to start a period of time that Jeremiah says is the time of Jacob's trouble. And at the beginning of that time period, God is going to send a strong delusion to deceive, to intentionally deceive the people who have been left behind. Turn to Revelation chapter 6, and I will show you that deception. In fact, turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, let's look at the first five verses. Revelation chapter 5, the first five verses. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong, this is the book that Daniel was told to close. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Turn to Revelation 6. Paul says that after the rapture of the church, for everybody that is left behind, God is going to send strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Revelation 6 verses 1 and 2 show you what that strong delusion is. Verse 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Turn to Isaiah chapter 10. Turn to Isaiah chapter 10. The very first seal that is opened up is the strong delusion. And that strong delusion is that Antichrist is the Messiah. Look at what Isaiah chapter 10 says in verses 5 and 6. Isaiah 10:5. O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. So the first thing that's going to happen, the strong delusion, Jesus opens the first seal and out comes Antichrist riding on a white horse with a crown. So for the first 3.5 years, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, get 1 Thessalonians 5 in one hand, and get Jeremiah 30 in the other. Get Jeremiah 30 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 5 through 7, for thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. And now go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's look at the first 3 verses. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So the first 3.5 years of the time of Jacob's trouble, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. That sudden destruction is in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Look down in verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. And then look down in verse 21, Matthew 24, 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. You have the beginning of sorrows, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, the start of the time of Jacob's trouble, which is a 7-year time period. Antichrist is released. He pretends to be the Messiah. 3.5 years later, he reveals himself. And now the time that Jesus says the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years of the time of Jacob's trouble begins. And this brings the seal and the bowl and the trumpet judgments that will take place during Daniel's 70th week. Then you have the battle of Armageddon in Ezekiel chapter 39. Then you have the second coming. And that's when we return on white horses with Jesus Christ. Then you have the great white throne judgment. That goes into the 1,000-year reign of Jesus. Then you have the battle of... the great white throne does not take... I was... I was skipping. Jesus returns at the second coming. We return with him. The thousand-year reign of King Jesus from Jerusalem. The battle of Gog and Magog. The great white throne judgment. And then eternity takes place. That is the end times timeline. And where we are is we are living right now in the Mark of the Beast system. It's everywhere you look. This is the same system that Antichrist is going to use when he is released in Revelation chapter 6. And so the whole world is preparing themselves right now to receive Antichrist. All the people from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that are going to be left behind at the rapture, those people, either consciously or subconsciously, are preparing themselves to receive Antichrist. This world is preparing itself for the arrival of Antichrist. And that is why you see this system. We call it the internet. But I have been saying for years and years and years that the internet is the mark of the beast system. Phyllis says, could I go a little faster? And she is employing sarcasm. All right, I will catch my breath and I'll slow down a little bit. We are living right now in the mark of the beast system. It's not coming. It's here. You can feel it everywhere that you look. It's like that quote from The Matrix. It's all around you. It's everywhere you go. The technology has gone overboard. And everybody has their devices. Everybody has their apps and the things that they use. And we have become a global society that cannot function outside of the internet. So, if you were thinking about a time that would be coming where you could get away from all this, that time period is over. That time period is absolutely over. Because there is no place to go. And the whole world is preparing itself to receive Antichrist. Remember that movie, The Matrix?
I imagine that right now you're feeling a bit like Alice, tumbling down the rabbit hole.
You could say that.
I can see it in your eyes. You have the look of a man who accepts what he sees because he is expecting to wake up. Ironically, this is not far from the truth. Do you believe in fate, Neil?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like the idea that I'm not in control of my life.
I know exactly what you mean. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad. It is this feeling that has brought you to me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The Matrix.
Do you want to know what it is? The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us. Even now, in this very room. You can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television. You can feel it when you go to work, when you go to church, when you pay your taxes. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
That you are a slave, Neo. Like everyone else, you were born into bondage. Born into a prison that you cannot smell or taste or touch. A prison for your mind. Unfortunately, no one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
So there you have a little bit of a clip from the movie The Matrix, and that movie was made back in 1999, so that was 24 years ago that The Matrix was released. And how incredible is it that we live in The Matrix right now? Do you realize that? Do you realize that we live in a world that is 100% controlled by the internet, by computers, and now that they're releasing these unbelievable upgrades and updates in AI, we are entering a time period that can only be described as a biblical time period. The world is preparing itself to receive Antichrist. And everywhere you look and everywhere you go, that's exactly what you see. And it's a digital prison that's being created. It's invisible, and yet it's one of the most real forces that exists anywhere on the earth. It is global. It comes down from outer space. It bounces off of Wi-Fi towers. I'm sitting in a room right now where Wi-Fi information is flowing through my body. And every single one of you who's listening to this program, you have information in Wi-Fi that's flowing through your brain and your body and your flesh. While you listen to this broadcast. So, where are we on the end times timeline? We are literally, if it was a clock, it would be about 5 seconds to midnight. And that's exactly where we are. Now, if you have any questions about what we talked about, please post those in the chat room. If you have any questions about the timeline that we've been talking about. But look, why do you think that there is such a push right now to get you to not believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church? Hardly any church continues to teach on the doctrine, the Bible doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And in fact, the vast majority of churches, they're trying to talk you out of it. They don't want you living in expectation of that blessed hope. CNN published an article back in September of 2022 talking about something called rapture anxiety. and that it's recognized by some faith experts and mental health professionals as a type of religious trauma. Darren Slade, the president of the Global Center for Religious Research, said, "This is a real thing. It's a chronic problem," talking about rapture anxiety. "This is a new area of study, but in general, our research has revealed that religious trauma leads to an increase of anxiety, depression, paranoia, and even some OCD-like behaviors." This is what the world wants you to believe, that the idea of the rapture is religious trauma. Have you ever met somebody that says the rapture was something that was invented by John Nelson Darby? Have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard somebody say that the idea of the rapture was something that was created by a crazy woman named Mary McDonald? Have you ever heard of that? That's what most churches will tell you, that the pre-tribulation rapture is not true. But I'm telling you, the reason why churches refuse to teach on it is because they don't want you living in that anticipation. There was a man by the name of Ephraim the Syrian, and you know what he said back in 373 AD? Take a listen to what Ephraim the Syrian said in 373 AD. "For all the saints and elect of God are gathered prior to the tribulation that is to come, and are taken to the Lord, lest they see the confusion that is to overwhelm the world because of our sins." That's a quote from a man named Ephraim the Syrian from AD 373. And what are they doing in 2023? They are trying to talk you out of it. Now, I have been a believer in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church for about the last 29 years. The first couple of years that I was saved, I did not understand the pre-trib rapture. My doctrine was all over the place. My doctrine was not right. And then I got around some good brothers who opened up the book and showed me how to rightly divide and showed me how to understand Bible doctrine. And for about the past 29 years, I have believed the Bible doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. Have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, you know, it's not Bible doctrine, that's just your interpretation"? Well, that's not true, because the pre-tribulation rapture of the church does not come from C.I. Schofield or Clarence Larkin or John Nelson Darby or Mary McDonald. The doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church comes from the Bible. It comes from the Apostle Paul. It comes from the Apostle John. And about a half dozen places that this doctrine is sprinkled throughout the Old and the New Testament. So you need to put your flag in the ground and you need to say, "I believe what the Bible has to say about the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church." And we need to be witnesses to a lost and dying world, because we are so getting ready to get out of here. But while we wait, we are living inside the Mark of the Beast system. So I hope that this little study tonight was a blessing for you. I hope that you are continuing to share with the people that you know. And and to stand for Bible doctrine and to stand for rightly dividing the word. I know I gave you a whole bunch of scripture tonight and I went a little fast because I had a lot of ground to cover. But we are at the end. There is no question about it. We are absolutely at the end of the end. Now, how much longer is the Lord going to tarry? I don't know. But I'll tell you this much. I'm looking for the Lord on a daily basis. As far as I'm concerned, he's overdue. Rapture Ready is asking a question in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Do we have to wait till the Antichrist is revealed? No, we simply have to wait for the man of sin to be revealed. Turn to John chapter 13. We have about 6 minutes left. I think I can cover it. Turn to John chapter 13. Marie Comfort just asked the question, do we have to wait for the Antichrist to be revealed? No, we have to wait for the man of sin to be revealed. Now, in John chapter 13, at the Last Supper, this is what we see. Let's start reading in verse 23. John 13, let's start reading in verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is, to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. And then look down in verse 30. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Now, these verses in John chapter 13, verses 23 through 30, this is a beautiful, beautiful picture of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. You have the 11 disciples. You have Judas Iscariot, who already is the man of sin. The Bible says about Judas that he was a thief, and that he held the bag, he cared not for the poor, he mocked Mary's sacrifice of the alabaster box. Judas Iscariot was always the man of sin. And here in John chapter 13, he is revealed to be a type of the Antichrist. And it says in verse 27, after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. He then, having received the sop, verse 30, went immediately out, and it was night. So, what are we watching here in John chapter 13? We're watching a type of the Antichrist being revealed. And the very moment that Judas is revealed to be the betrayer, he immediately goes down and out and into darkness. And the 11 disciples, who are a type of the church, remain up in the air, in the upper room, in a type of the rapture of the church. Now, how amazing is that? How amazing is that Judas is revealed as a type of Antichrist. He goes down and out and into darkness, while the 11 disciples, who are a type of the church, are up in the air with Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Titus chapter 2. How amazing is that picture in John chapter 13? And there's the answer. There's the answer to Marie Comfort's question. We are simply waiting for the man of sin to be revealed. And when that happens, the man of sin is going to go down and out and into darkness. 1 Thessalonians 5 says that we are not of the night, we are not of darkness, and we are going to be up in the air with the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for tonight. I hope that this was a blessing to you. And Friday, we're going to have our podcast, Lord willing, at noon Eastern time. And it's going to be our Pride Month podcast. And if you want to find out who is the king over the children of Pride and everything that is going on for this Pride Month and how it is a fulfillment of when Jesus says that the end times will be like the days of Lot, then we invite you to tune in this Friday at noon Eastern time. Have a great week, everybody, and we will see you soon.
Unfold like flowers before you, opening to the sun above.
Our brother, all who live.
Father.